This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we're featuring Bianca D. McCall, an expert in suicide prevention and creator of the Reach In Now mobile application created to impact communities in need. Bianca, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. Like I said, I love any opportunity to start these conversations about mental health, awareness, and suicide prevention.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to being more aware and really do appreciate not only what you do, but for taking a moment to share some very important information with us. So suicide prevention is an ongoing need in all demographics, but particularly with African Americans, we've seen an uptick in suicides lately. Is this correct information? And if so, is there a root cause? We'd like to hear your input on that as we kick things off today.
Well, yeah, certainly. It is true. It is something that we're seeing trending or upticking in the Black community. And I'm of the belief that the root causes are things like shame and stigma and avoidance and denial, really. You know, when we look at Black communities and other disenfranchised cultures and communities, you know, there's an experience of transgenerational trauma, what are considered to be adverse childhood experiences called ACEs, and post-traumatic stress and secondary and vicarious stress. We're experiencing those all at a much higher rate. And if we look at who in the Black community, in example, are representing the increases in suicide attempts and suicide deaths, it's really our young people. Our young people are seeing increases in suicide death and suicide attempts.
Tell us, Bianca, how has the current COVID-19 pandemic impacted suicide rates from that angle, and how has it impacted people's ability to get help and services? Talk to us about that.
No, absolutely. So the Centers for Disease Control, or the CDC, they reported that there's been an increase of 300,000 deaths that are related to, you know, mental health disease. So if we look at prior to the pandemic, every 40 seconds, we were losing somebody to suicide death in the world. Every 40 seconds. And that translated to nearly 800,000 deaths per year. So when the CDC publishes a report that we've seen an increase of 300,000 deaths, that's up 40% of deaths. And where we're seeing those increases, again, in Black communities and people of color communities, we're seeing our young people ages 5 to 24 years with increases of 40% in suicide deaths. We're also looking at other populations like our veterans, our LGBTQ+, whereas staggering statistics, our trans youth, you know, our LGBTQ youth, they have an increase or an added risk of suicide attempts 10 times the normal amount for their age range between 5 and 24 years. So one out of every 5 trans youth will have a minimum of one suicide attempt in their before the age of 21. One suicide attempt before the age of 21. Other statistics that support the notion that the pandemic has impacted suicide rates. And again, I'm speaking to youth because this is a population where we've seen the sharpest increases. Since the pandemic, over 140,000 youth, 140,000 children have lost a primary or a secondary caregiver during the pandemic. And this is disproportionately impacting Black communities or children of color. And so when you talk about, you know, causation, you know, for this, you know, it's we've got our family systems that have been impacted. We've got adults that are grieving and suffering through varying levels of impact. And we've got our children that no longer have the examples of how to be resilient, you know, through this crisis, through this pandemic. Something else that I want to mention with regards to our young people, again, this is the population that we're seeing that are driving our suicide rates in Black community. The academies for child and adolescent psychiatry and pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association, on October 16th of 2021, they declared that we are in a national state of emergency for child and adolescent mental health. And largely to do with these statistics, we've seen not only suicide rates or suicide deaths go up, but we've seen suicide attempts go up. And here's some statistics with that. So children ages 5 to 11 years old, they have visited the emergency room and emergency departments related to mental health concerns at an increased rate of 20%. Children ages 12 to 17 years old have increased their emergency room visits due to mental health concerns by 30%. And here's one statistic that hits close to home for me. So girls ages 12 to 17 years old, their suicide attempts have increased by a rate of 51%. And I say this hits close home to me because when we look at suicide death statistics, the youngest suicide that we've had since the beginning of the pandemic is a five-year-old. A five-year-old. And when you look at statistics like girls ages 12 to 17 years old have increased their suicide attempts have increased by 51%, you know, in just 1 year, I think as an adult, you know, and for those parents that are out there listening, we blink and a year goes by, right, for our children. And just considering the notion that the next time we blink, one of our girls, one of our children that are 5 years of age, they're contemplating ending their life. And so suicide is absolutely a subject that we should be talking about, that we should be changing the way that we think about, right? And that we approach, especially given in Black communities. For African Americans, when we talk about shame and stigma, avoidance and denial, it's avoiding the fact that suicide is a subject that we need to be openly talking about. We need to initiate these conversations. We need to, instead of disciplining and correcting behavior as a first step, understanding behavior needs to be the first step.
Well, I got to tell you, that's some eye-opening stats right there. And if that doesn't get your attention, nothing will. Really, that's mind-boggling. Now, why are services and resources so important in suicide prevention?
Well, I think across the lifespan, you know, because I know I've talked a lot about young people, but young people, they're reflectors, right, of what's going on later on in the lifespan, because we're modeling that, we're setting the tone, we're the ones to foster hope for our young people, and so across the lifespan, services and resources become of the utmost importance for suicide prevention, because really resiliency and resourcefulness are the building blocks to survival. Those are the preventative measures for suicide. And so when we think about services, for example, those are the bricks or the blocks that we bring to build resilience. And it's more than, you know, oftentimes in people of color communities, we're thinking we can just pray this away. We can pray away conflict, and we can have faith that someone else or something else or our higher power will resolve the problem. It's really about taking action in that. And so it's okay to have faith, you know, that things will be as they you know, according to a higher purpose or the will of a higher purpose, but it's the action, it's the ownership over the responsibility of our own health, right? It's the ownership over the responsibility to reshape our identities in the face of crisis and tragedy and trauma. It's embracing every opportunity to reshape our identities, to be a healthier person, to achieve post-traumatic growth, right? And so engaging in services, we always say, you know, someone's not going to accept the help until they're ready. And that really, I think, points to the paramount notion that we've got to take ownership. It starts with self. We've got to take ownership over this opportunity to achieve post-traumatic growth in the face of crisis and something like the pandemic. And so that's an action. That's taking an action. We've got to share that responsibility and being compassionate, not just beginning with being compassionate for one another, but we've got to be compassionate with ourselves. We've got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? It's okay to not be okay. We've got to do some active listening, right? How many of us, you know, we ask somebody how they're doing today. Hi, how's it going? How you feeling? How you doing today? But how many of us really don't want to stick around, you know, for that answer? we're like, gosh, I hope you say you're okay so we can move on about our day. But it's actually, you know, taking the time to connect with one another and to be active in listening and to mirror that affect, you know, to mirror the affect of communities, because it's more than, you know, resources is more than outside looking in, someone from another community coming in and saying, hey, here's some resources that will help you heal. It's more of mirroring an affect. It's understanding culture and community and empowering the emergence of leadership within the community, right? So that those leaders can then share that messaging, can be a part of the resources and the resilience. And I also want to mention, you know, as far as resources, we've got to key in on two major concepts, you know, with resourcefulness, is that it's got to be affordable and it's got to be accessible. And that's one of the things that we're facing, especially now, you know, throughout pandemic, is the affordability and the accessibility. Are all people, do they all have access and the means to be able to access the resources that are out there? It's a two-pronged approach. We've got to empower leadership, and we've got to build these resources. We've got to bring these resources to the forefront, and we've got to make them accessible, you know, to everyone.
Certainly do appreciate your input on that. And like you said, anytime we ask someone how they're doing, we're almost afraid to hear what they have to say, and it's important to take the time to listen to that response. And that way we can better be of help, and really some good conversation and good information and insight shared already today. We're speaking with Bianca D. McCall, an expert in suicide prevention and creator of the Reach In Now mobile app created to impact communities in need. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's mental health and technology channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. Now, Bianca, you have created a platform, as we've mentioned, to help people who are experiencing mental health concerns and to combat the rise in suicides we're seeing in our communities today. Can you tell us more about this app? I'm sure listeners would appreciate the details there.
Absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity to do so. I want to mention that if you text Reach In Now to 22828, and again, that's Reach In Now to 22828, then you could subscribe to getting more information, early releases, and all of that to be connected with the Reach In Now mobile application. And just to explain a little bit more about what it is an application that features peer supports and empowers community. So it's a little bit different, you know, than other mental health apps within the space, because, again, we're looking at affordability and accessibility. And when I say that, I mean, you know, our other health apps, you know, sometimes they're charging anywhere between $80 and $150 a week or per session to link with a clinical practitioner, like a therapist or a doctor. And really, you know, coming from the lens of I am a licensed clinician myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I'm coming from the lens of I see my people in practice maybe once a month, and that's if people are reaching out. Right? A doctor may see somebody once a month or once every 90 days if they're reaching out. But what we have to understand is that reaching out when you're in crisis is a very challenging thing. It's difficult to reach out. It's difficult to understand or identify that you're in crisis when you're in it, right? And sometimes for some of us, it's not until it's too late before, you know, we're able to reach out. And so the whole concept behind Reach In and Reach In Now is let's do some upstream prevention. Let's really focus in on the onset and the entry points of when we're experiencing this dis-ease, right, that leads to disease and leads to the experience of suicidality. Really at those entry points, it's all about self-care. It's all about the moments that we stop taking good care of ourselves, that we stop managing, you know, all things that we consume, whether that be nutrition or substances or even messaging and energy, the type of people that we have around us, the amount of time we spend on the internet. Those elements, you know, that's what it takes to reach in, is to start to manage our consumption, right? And to start to care for ourselves. And so this app provides the resources and the supports for us to be able to do those things.
Now, in regards to the app and taking this further, what would you say makes the Reach In Now app different than other mental health apps that we see in this particular space?
Well, like I, like I mentioned before, I think, you know, the empowerment piece, the empowering of peers and community is something distinctive for the Reach In Now app. Again, if other apps, they're linking you to clinical practitioners and you know, doctors and therapists, I think that's fine and well. But oftentimes, speaking as a therapist, we don't have really a real-time pulse of what's going on in our communities. The first people to be able to identify that something is wrong, you know, with our friends, our families, right? Our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our coworkers, our community. We're the first ones to recognize when something may not be going right with someone, right? And so the Reach In Now app, very distinctively, it empowers community, you know? So we've got the peer support, you know, mechanisms. It's anonymous. It's 24/7 that you can get peer support. So you go on and you can chat, you can text chat, and also live chat with your peers that have similar lived experiences. And again, it's anonymous. So, you know, we're addressing the shame and the stigma, and we're giving people a safe place to be able to step forward and say, you know what, I'm experiencing this too. How do I navigate through this personal crisis? How do I navigate through this circumstance having to do with my health, whether it be my behavioral mental health, or it could be educational health, financial health. It could be our social and economic health. And so we're looking at the total health of a person as opposed to just that behavioral mental health. And so, and that addresses that shame and stigma component, because a lot of us are, you know what, I'm not in crisis, or I've never thought about suicide, so this doesn't apply to me. Well, I love to be the one to share with everybody that we all have to manage our mental health, whether we're healthy or not. You know, it's something that's a daily management, a daily devotion to be mentally fit. And so this app, it really is for everyone in that sense. And then again, the affordability piece. You know, we're not charging $80 to $150 a week to connect with people, to connect with a support system. Our subscription is $9.99 a month. So in a year's time, you're paying less than what you would pay for one therapy session, in just $9.99 a month. So we're full force addressing affordability and accessibility, and also making this accessible to all communities and based on total person health and empowerment of communities and peers.
What a tremendous resource to have available. Really do appreciate all you do, Bianca, and for joining us here today. Hit that website once again where listeners can get more details on the Reach In Now app, as well as also how can they download the app.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Again, you can text Reach In Now to 22828, and that will be giving you updates on December 1st of this year, 2021. Reach In Now, the mobile application, will be available on your App Store and your Google Play Store. So December 1st, 2021, Reach In Now will be available at your App Store and Google Play Store. We also have already a resource that's up and running. The URL is www.reachinnow.com. You could also learn more about Reach In, the movement. So outside of the mobile app, we've got a limited docuseries that'll be streaming on networks pretty soon here. We've got a podcast that we leverage the voices and the platforms of celebrities and influencers, all making it okay to talk about mental health and wellness. And so we've got a nonprofit that's linked to the Reach In Now movement, and that's Desert Rose Gives. And so the nonprofit, the sole purpose is to talk with people of influence, thought leaders, leaders of industries, to be able to support and to sponsor memberships and to sponsor services for all users of Reach In Now, so that affordability is never a barrier for anybody wanting to use the app. So if you're one of those people like me that's like, $9.99 a month, you know, I've got to redo the budget or how my bank account works, right? And so there are options for scholarships and for sponsorships because of the great work of our nonprofit partners like Desert Rose Gives. So App Store, Google Play, text REACHIN NOW to 22828 for more information. And, of course, we've got the website up there as well at reachinnow.com.
Well, you certainly got it going on and being a big help and offering great resources in all regards per our conversation on suicide prevention. Again, folks, for more information, visit reachinnow.com. Bianca, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. You take care.
And you as well. Happy holidays to you. We've been speaking with Bianca D. McCall, an expert in suicide prevention and creator of the ReachIn Now mobile app created to impact communities in need. And for further information on the app, visit reachinnow.com, or for the nonprofit organization that's partnering with ReachIn Now, it's desertrosegives.org. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will further help expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.